Hey, everybody. Welcome back.
Wait.
Yeah, okay. All right. Is that what we're doing?
God, I swear.
Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? Where is...
He wants to see this magical mute button.
Where are my participants? Mute. Mute. Hey everybody, welcome back. It's another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chattagooner, and I'm here with the full crew. Shabby, Shelly, and Todd all are here to talk about the week that was in Chattanooga Football Club soccer.
Soccer.
We had two matches. We've had, I didn't even mention this before we were talking about the agenda. We also had a couple of teams, the academy teams, make it to the state finals. So we want to mention those. Yeah. Those guys, at least two teams. I don't know if there were more. I know we had four or five make it to the semis. And I know at least two are playing in the state final next week or this weekend coming up in a couple of days. So, best of luck to them. It's a fun experience. So we had a mixed bag. We have 2-5-1 games to talk about. One, in our favor and one not in our favor. We'll just go in chronological order and start with the men's match. The guys went up to Rochester to play Flower City. Some people were asking, was this going to be a revenge game? And I don't think it was. For me, it was less about revenge and just more about the team showing. Todd is, you can't see this because we're a podcast, but Todd is showing us that he knows where Rochester is located. So on the map.
I may not know where obscure towns are in Tennessee, but I know where Rochester's at.
All right. So Todd knows where Rochester is. So we went up to Rochester to, I think, to remind ourselves and to remind everyone else what type of team that we can be. And I think we did that, coming out with a 5-1 victory over Flower City. So, y'all, I guess I'll start with Todd. Todd, what was your initial take away from the match?
So, to me, this is exactly what the score should have been in the first meeting between these two teams. This time, I think we came out, we had a lot more confidence, and that may have just been because who was up top. Nagelstad didn't get the got very little action in that first game. I think he came in as a late substitution in the first meeting. And he was obviously the difference maker in this, coming in with, I guess, what is being called a haul of four goals. So, but this is how we should have handled our business the first time. Now, just like I said, I think the lineup was different. This isn't the same personnel that we saw. And I think those players made a difference. But overall, I think we were capable of this result the first time.
Yeah, so for the lineup, we have Gonzalez in goal again, Ward and Robertson as the fullbacks. Martinez was back from his injury, and then Colin Stripling. I don't know. I'm not aware. Spielman wasn't in the side. He wasn't in the
travel.
So I'm not sure what's going on there. But Martinez and Stripling did really well. McGrath came back as the captain and the deepest lying midfielder, with Bermudez and Cerro outside of him as kind of like eights, I think. Gray and Jones out wide with, as Todd said, Nagelstad up top. Again, I think these are still some of the changes that we had talked about 3 weeks ago after we spent some time trying to figure out what happened in the first Flower City match. So, I was pleased with the lineup. I think Robertson at right back has been good. Ward, I still think we need a left back, but Ward has been playing well. and the rest of the guys really came through. So first half, we really started off pretty strong. Shabby, what did you see in that first half?
Well, I mean, Nicholson just came out like ready, like all action. Like he was there, he was finding his spots. He was making things happen, which like Todd, you know, was talking about how you got to give him that chance. And he did, he took his chances and he did it. It was impressive to see the way they just kept it moving. And I was so happy to see it because like Todd said, this is what it should have looked like when they played before. Like it made me feel a lot better because I still don't know what it was we saw on that previous match. I don't know what team we were watching. That match still makes no sense to me.
So I think it was the 11th or 12th minute. I don't have the timing of the goals in front of me. But we went
just
ahead,
inside the 12th minute.
The 12th yes. minute. Mm-hmm. And then we come right back, maybe the 15th or 16th minute with the second goal. They happened kind of back to back.
They did. The Cerro's goal was 14 minutes.
It was 14 yeah. minutes. So it's like yeah, 12 so, and 14, I believe. Yeah.
So it was really soon after the first goal. And Cerro's goal was really nice, really, really well played. Like
again, that was off the assist by Nagelstad as well.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Marcus crossed it and he just had a pretty simple tap in right there inside the six. And then we were like millimeters away from 3-0 right after that,
mm-hmm.
I don't know who crossed it in. I think it was Jones. Maybe
Nagelstad. I thought it was Nagelstad. I think they said Jones, but I was watching some reason. I thought it was Nagelstad.
Maybe it was. But somebody on the right side crossed it over and Taylor just missed the ball but because he was right in goal. I mean, that would have been a three.
I tried to watch that a couple of times to see if the ball out to the last minute, like the little kick off the turf or something. I couldn't make out what happened other than he didn't make a connection.
It was bouncing. So that's not as easy as it might look. So he missed that. It would quickly make it 3-0. You know, there really wasn't much of a response from Flower City after those first two goals. I mean, they really didn't do a whole lot. And then probably about the 34th minute, something 34? Like that.
Mm-hmm. 34th is whenever
we got that third goal. And then that was pretty much, you know, I think at that time I was like, this game's done. I mean, you know, I wasn't just with the limited chances that Flower City created with, I just didn't think they were that much in the game. And then we put a fourth by them, right?
Dave Neville said the hat trick.
Yeah. Pretty soon after that, we'd give, to give Marcus the hat trick. And then, you know, I think we did give up a goal. It was kind of a sloppy, some sloppy play that came from zone 14, Todd, just in case you wanted to.
No, it was. It was sloppy. It was sloppy right up there at the top of our box. And, you know, we should have cleared it, and we didn't. Yeah. We kind of messed around. And it, you know, just kind of goes back to, like, it doesn't matter if it's Flower City, it doesn't matter who it is. If you don't clear it and you give somebody half a chance, and that's what it was, because there were two defenders within a yard of the shot, and it looked like somebody even dove in to get a foot on it. And, I mean, it just got right past KG and goal. I mean, I think it was nothing you could do about it.
But. Yeah, it was pretty clean shot, and it hit side net. I mean, it was a good shot, but, I think it was kind of a wild swing. It was out of really nowhere. And their announcer went absolutely nuts. I don't know if you guys.
To be fair, he went nuts for the goals that we scored, too.
You know,
so
he
like,
really felt that was what they needed to start equalizing on us.
I was like, dude, I mean, it was almost as if Flower City had won the Club World Cup. And I'm like, you just cut it to three. Chill. Just
I mean,
chill.
Leading up to that lovely comment from their announcer, I was already having enough problems with how they were pronouncing Marcus's last name. Every time it came across, we would all in unison at the house say it over and over. It's like the worst accent possible, but yeah.
You know, I think for me, the biggest difference between the first and the second game was, you know, this, we put them to the sword early the way we should have. So think about all the chances that we had in that first game in the first 10 to 15 minutes. Like, we had multiple chances. Now, they weren't clear-cut chances, but like, I remember Jones was getting the ball in good positions, and we just weren't converting anything. And you mentioned, I think, Chevy, you mentioned earlier that after or, that after the goals that we scored in this game, they didn't, when they really didn't have anything for us. They didn't come back. They didn't step their pressure up because I think we killed them off early and we killed off their belief. In the first game, we let them grow into the game and we let, you know, just let them sit around and that's what happened. So maybe we're looking at some chemistry starting to be created for CFC, some belief in the system and understanding. And now granted, let's put the game in perspective. It's Flower City. Like, it is what it is, but you can only play the team in front of you. And we, we did what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they had come off back-to-back wins against us in Maryland, right? Was that back-to-back? 1-0 against us, 2-1. I mean, so it's not, you know, they had, well, I'll put quote unquote, started to play a little better. It really didn't translate to playing better in this match. It was
no, and they should start to play better. You got to remember, this is a new team. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, looking at our women. You know, it's like they're going to, Flower City is going to take some time to gel, and I expect, you know, you play them later in the season, they're going to be better than they were, you know, early in the season. So,
Same thing as New Amsterdam was last season. Yep. They got progressively better. Maryland's first year, the exact same way. So after our loss to Flower City at home, I'm going to catch myself ever saying, well, I mean, it's just Flower City, because that should have been a barn burner, and they burned our barn down at that point. Yeah. So I won't be quick to find that too. And if you think about it as well, Flower City is in a lot of ways like in the same boat as Syracuse. They were getting their players at the very, very last second almost, and so they didn't have as much practice time as some of the other teams in the league, or have like those returning players like we had a few. Obviously we're a relatively newer team this year because we didn't bring back as many, but I think that was part of their thing too, is they had to work on their gelling together on the field.
So we come out in the second half and really just control the match. You know, there were a few really good chances, but I don't remember anything that Flower City really did. It just felt like that we were seeing out the game at 4-1. We really didn't need to do anything else. I don't know. Shelley, did you see anything else in the second half?
No, I mean, I think that at that point too, you know, we had more of our substitutions, which is understandable when you're up that high. It's easy to take some chances. But no, I mean, the second half, and it wasn't that it was lackluster, but we had done so well before the half that everything else was kind of like a bonus treat for us, in my opinion.
We did put in a late goal, so yep, Marcus gets number 4.
Hat trick and a spare.
Yeah, and
wild.
Yeah,
he had a night. Like, I hope to see that kind of night this weekend. Let me just tell you.
Yeah, really. It's, you know, I think it shows you need somebody who can score goals. I mean, up front. And, you know, we had players that were creating things, getting in dangerous positions, but you just need somebody who's going to score. And that's really what Marcus has been. And, you know, and, you know, that's what he is, that, you know, scoring from a free kick, scoring, you know, having he just had a game. And I hope we see more of that. So we leave up there 5-5-1. As the final, our friend Jed, you know, the stats kind of confirm the sheer dominance, even more dominating performance than there was in our loss, which, you know, makes sense. If you win, you would think you might dominate more. We had 22 shots, 12 shots on goal with an XG of 4.35. So that is an insane XG. That means we created a ton. They had 0.21. So even the shot they made was really a low percentage chance. They just really didn't do anything. It was a very dominating performance. I think you saw a team that was frustrated or angry about, you know, maybe losing before and maybe not playing up to the potential. And they took it out on Flower City that night. Go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about Marcus for a second, and you're alluding to having a finisher. If you watch Marcus's finishes, and you spoke to it a little bit, there's a variety, right? There's a PK, there's a free kick, there's just kind of a melee in the box a little bit. He's creating things. But at the same time, you know, a lot of times you don't see Marcus, like, he just finds those right, just the right spot to be in at the right time. He doesn't have it to rear back and crush it. He doesn't have to, he can finish those little just one-time touches inside the box that take patience. It takes just a little bit of like taking that extra breath just to like finish it calmly. And I think that's what separates him from like some of the other strikers that we have on the team. He's not the fastest. He's not the tallest. He's not any of those things. But what he does do and finish is finish, and that's what you have to have.
So what's next? We come back next, or this in a couple of days, have Bay City's coming to Findlay. So we need everybody out there. They're going to be at the end of a 3 games in a week stretch. So they, I can't remember.
Not good to our favor.
Yeah. So hopefully they're tired.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I think this is going to be a test. It's going to be a big test for us.
But mm-hmm. I can't remember who they played in the first game of the week. I should have looked that. But they
played Cal.
I don't remember, to be honest. I really don't. They did play the Stars on Wednesday and lost 2-0 to the Stars at Michigan. So they're coming off of a loss to them. They're coming off of 2 games in like 3 or 4 days. This will be the third game in 7. But it will still, you know, they have been playing well up until at least before that Stars match. And so I
think they're in second place, right, in the West.
Yeah.
They are. So. And you were right, Tadia. They had Cal United was their first.
Yep.
Yeah, they went against Cal, and then, yeah.
So that was a loss too, right? They lost to Cal.
I just think this is going to be a good test. I mean, just on paper, and I know we've only been out west like once this year and played Valley United team that is probably very different than the one we played.
Yeah.
That exists now. But still, I mean, sitting in second place in the West is a pretty respectable place to be, because I think the West is probably stronger than the East.
Yeah, top to
bottom. Yeah, sorry. No, I stand corrected. Sorry, it was the Bobcats. Maryland. They beat Maryland 4-1. Yes, 4-1.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, because it's an East Coast tour. So, yeah, they did 4-1 Maryland, and they lost 2-1 to Michigan.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll be honest with you, putting four in on Maryland is not an easy thing to do. Maryland's, they're physical, they're pretty stingy. So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Maryland's struggling a little bit right now. They've had some injuries, and they're struggling a bit. I think they've lost 3 in a row. So they're struggling a bit.
I'd like to think we started that.
Yes, right.
Well, the thing too, I don't know if you all saw
trending
the
down.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all saw the NISA top stats tweet that they did like a day or so, I think 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago. And Bay Cities has 2 of the top 3. Marcus is up top, and then 2 Bay Cities players. Yeah. So it could be very interesting on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be a challenge, like Todd said. I expect to win. We really need – We cannot come out and lay an egg at home like we did, you know, against Flower City. I mean, I really hope.
No, because I think this is going to be a big crowd. I hope so. We're going to have fireworks. I think this is going to be a big crowd.
Yeah, it's a holiday weekend. We have the fireworks.
There's nothing else going on in Chattanooga.
Big... Well, yeah.
What are the odds we hit 4,000 this weekend?
I don't think
that would be fantastic.
I don't think
would love it.
I think we do about the same as we did last time, about 3,200, 3,300.
I'm going to go 4.
Okay.
So if we get over 4, does that mean you're buying us beers, Jim?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, by the way, we just glanced.
Manganatas, okay. Yeah.
Fair. Manganatas.
Yeah.
We kind of just glossed right over the fact that I predicted these 5 goals in this game.
All right. So, and anyway, moving on.
I told you guys that SmackDown was coming.
No, yeah, you put a GIF out, but that wasn't a prediction, Todd.
Sure, it was. I said this is how things are going to go.
Yeah, okay.
And I left it up to Dave Chappelle. Uh-huh. What did the 5 fingers say to the face? Come on, man.
Okay, all right.
That's a prediction.
Okay, we'll give it to you. It was a fun.
I speak in parables.
Okay. All right. Well, and then later on this week, we Wednesday, right? Was that Wednesday night? It seems like forever. Was it Wednesday night when we went to Nashville?
Wednesday.
No, you went to Nashville on Sunday.
Like, what world are you in?
We just knew it was some kind of church day. Sunday, Wednesday.
Social hours was last night. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. That's right. Yep. Yep. And I swear I only drank water.
Water, maybe.
Sunday. No. Sunday night. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how. Yeah. Sunday night, we, some of us traveled up to Nashville to watch the first women's match in like almost 4 years. So
I was so happy to be there.
It was
so happy to be there.
And y'all look so good. The pictures that I saw. So unfortunately, I was here volunteering, but yeah. Flags looked good. Y'all sounded good.
Yeah. So I would say, Jim,
like you guys are going to have to give us basically the breakdown of that game, because those of us who were relying on the feed were, I don't want to say disappointed, because that's not the right word. Because we expected that from 11, but I mean, maybe it was on. It could have been on Nashville's side. I mean, I don't know. But yes, it was unwatchable.
I'm going to say it was on Nashville's side. Yeah, I have on the mm-hmm. agenda. Return to amateur soccer, because this was very much a return.
Where was the match played on Sunday?
Father Ryan.
Oh, I have not been there since high school, so okay. Yeah.
Well, one would think that they're not lacking for funds for a proper feed at that school.
No,
so.
they've got yeah. a good.
It was not a good feed, though.
It was, yeah. So anyway, all I can say is, you know, I paid for a ticket before I got there, like a good consumer. And I walked up and walked right in, and no one from Nashville Rhythm ever looked at me or said hi. I don't know if I went in like the player entrance and I didn't know that I did. I mean, we all went in that entrance.
You didn't see the people at the tables under the underhang?
Well, I saw it. I saw them over there.
And
oh, is that what I was
going to check in? Maybe they've heard the podcast and they know your disdain. Yes. So they're like, I can't talk. I can't even lay eyes on him.
I had my my Nashville Rhythm media pass. I mean, anyway, but another.
You're right. It felt like amateur soccer. And
there was another entrance with a gate. Did you see that other entrance where there was a gate? Like we were where we went in. I don't know. I just think we just went in the wrong way and nobody ever said anything to us. So I just went and sat down. So, I mean, I have a receipt. I paid for my ticket, but yeah. It was a fun trip. We had, I don't know what, 20,
couple dozen. Yeah.
You had enough to annoy the opposing teams.
There were more of us than there were of their own supporters.
Yes. I actually giggled whenever I saw that pop up on Twitter that they were annoyed.
Yeah. We were, I guess the drums just started, had been going about 5 minutes before I saw some of their fans or parents look over and give
you
like
kids the, quit playing those drums over
they
there.
They gave you know, the shut your mouth, little like shh, shush. Like, and I was I just,
they shushed you. Oh
yeah.
No.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, no.
And they were talking.
They didn't come over and say something, because then we would have just gotten even louder.
Apparently, somebody told me that the last time we played there, someone did actually come over and say, hey, would you guys stop playing the drums so much?
Yes, someone did the last time we played there. Yeah, that was a while ago, though. That was 4 years ago. Yeah.
So guys, tell us about the game a little bit. I mean, obviously the score line was not in our favor, but at the same time.
So
we had one foul in the net, though, so that's good.
Yeah, so let's go. I mean, just we played a 4-2-3-1. Sadler at goal, Villalobos, Catlett, Avery, Lanter. Lanter was the captain. That's across the back. Rutan and Bowl as the kind of double pivot, with Caminiti, Aguilar, and Smotherman as kind of the attacking mids, with a lone striker as Newsom. And,
I'm correct, you're talking about the line.
Yeah.
Lineup. Bowl was a last minute sub, right?
Yeah, she was.
Like a substitution in the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I don't remember who was originally going to start there. I don't know if it was Silva. I don't remember. But yes, Bull was a last minute sub or last change in the lineup. I mean, Nashville started out pretty bright. It was clear that they were going to apply pressure. They were going mm-hmm. to possess the ball. They were quite a lot bigger than and quite a little bit more physical than our team was. They went up. I mean, it was I guess maybe 6 or 7 minutes before when they scored the first goal, and they scored the second. Not too long after that. And we
quickly responded.
We kind of came into the game a little bit later, like in the middle part of the first half.
Yeah.
There was a, I don't remember if it was just a long ball that their defenders misplayed, but, our winger, right winger, Smotherman, Bree, was able to get behind the keeper. And I mean, it wasn't an easy finish. When she finally took the shot, it was a pretty tight angle, but she finished it. And I will say
it was pretty. She capitalized on what she had.
Oh yeah. Yes. And I will say she was, and I'll maybe ask you, Shabby, the players that kind of stuck out to you, at least of the starters, she and Anna Lanter kind of stuck out as you know, up that right side.
Absolutely.
They looked, and I mean, because Bree, she scored the goal, but she also created some other things. She also applied a little bit of pressure. You know, I think right now the team was, they just met up with a better team. Man, it's just really no other way to put it. Nashville, the players have been together for a while. They won this conference last year. So they have experience. There was a quality differential there at least in this first match, and we'll see. And I remember the words of coach when he came on and said, listen, just hang with us through this. It may be a little bumpy, but the team will get better. And I saw little bits and pieces where they created and did some good things. But they just came up against a team that has played together and is probably a little better than they are right now. And I think the scoreline reflects that. So
they definitely had their moments of beauty. Like, I mean, there were a few places where you watched something and you went, oh, that was pretty. That was just like, there was some great things happening, especially along the right-hand side. But I think what it boils down to is exactly, Shelley, what you were just saying about Flower City, is that what we've got here is a young team, late ads, coming together late. I mean, they barely just started practicing, right? Like they don't know each other. They've had no time to gel. It is totally understandable. So I was not disappointed. I mean, am I disappointed about a loss? Of course, but I was also expecting it, right? I was not disappointed in their performance. The girls came out, they gave us their all. They're finding themselves as a team. They're finding each other. You know, they haven't really learned how to play with each other yet, but it's going to get better. I can tell it's going to get better.
Yeah. And Abby had a couple of really good saves in the second half.
Really good saves. Oh my gosh. Yes.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think they fought really hard. Their mentality was really good at the end of the match. They came over and I think they really enjoyed the fact that we were there. I think I spoke with some folks from the club, and when they told the players that, oh no, we're going to be represented, they were really excited. And I think I was really happy to see the group that was there and in full voice for all 90 minutes. And it was good. I was really happy. I think I said, and I meant this, that the real victory was the team was on the field and the game happened. That was for me that about this first match. That's what it was about. You know, I know the club wanted a little bit more and they're going to fight for more, but you know, from where I was sitting, it was fun. It was great to see the team out there. It was great to see them having fun. It was great to see them fighting. And, you know, right now I plan on being there tomorrow night when they head down to Birmingham and play down there tomorrow.
So guys, I wasn't at the game, but I'll kind of give you my take on it. The result it's not thrilling. It's not flattering or anything like that. But the bigger historical significance of actually playing, you know, what you alluded to, Jim, is really the highlight for me. And the fact that there were supporters and the fact that those women appreciated those of you that came up there. You know, I can't wait to get back for that first home game for them and really show them, you know, what it's like to play in Findlay. I think it's just going to be an incredible experience. And I reached out to Coach Douglas after the game. I think it was maybe even the next day. And, you know, just to congratulate him on getting that first game out of the way and that sort of thing. And I don't think he would mind if I read his response. He said it was a good experience for all of us. Obviously, no one likes losing or losing bad, but there were some positives out there and plenty for us to improve on for Friday. So he was already kind of past it and moving on to the next game. And he said he was speaking to his girls and he said that he was trying to let them know that this is a big step in the history of the club. So I think it's just as important that coaches out there, he's obviously leading these women, but at the same time, he's pointed to the fact that what they're doing is meaningful, not only just to be out there playing, but, you know, to the history of CFC and it matters.
And they were out there in those Navy kits with the sky blue crest, which was,
I liked it.
Yeah,
no,
was good
you
to
look
see.
Very, I could sense your excitement in your tweet about that as well, Jim.
So,
well, the men with the Navy with the white shorts, that's what he likes.
That's what
he really wants.
Oh, I didn't even mention that. Oh my God. When we came out at Flower City and had Navy shirts and white shorts, I was like, y'all, this is, that's what a CFC kit's supposed to look like. The only thing, and of course, Matt had to, well, actually me a little bit, because I didn't mention, that, you know, they were not wearing Navy socks, which would complete the ensemble, but, they couldn't wear Navy socks because Flower City was wearing
the fashionistas of you two.
Well, Flower City was wearing dark socks. They're the home team. They get to choose that. So we had to wear white socks, but I'm waiting for that time when they walk out on the pitch at Findlay wearing Navy with white shorts and Navy socks. That'll be it. That's what we're supposed
to
be.
You've got 48 hours
to
do all the tweeting you can.
I might
24. You got 48 hours to start bribing Jordan.
Yeah. I might cry a little bit if they come out, but you know, it was great to see. And look, I mean, it clearly made all the difference. We won 5-1. So, I mean, I also do like the Navy with the sky shorts, which is what the women wore, right? They were Navy top sky shorts.
Correct.
I like that combo too. The men wore that, I think, against Maryland. So that's a sharp, you know, Navy and sky together are just, I've always liked that combination. So, but seeing the actual, you know, the sky crest on the kit, which we were really close to not seeing it, according to Smo. They came in like, oh, and I have to give him a shout out. I sat with him at the game, and he was so proud of his namesake that scored the goal and was out. I was like, you're just going to run and buy one of your own jerseys and put Smotherman on the back, aren't you? And he was like, yes, I am. So he was, he was so excited at the other Smotherman. Well, no, I guess he's the other Smotherman.
Do they have any relation? Do we know?
He doesn't think they are related
in any way.
I mean, he said if there are two Smothermen in Tennessee, we're probably related in some form or fashion, but he doesn't know.
Yeah, like a third cousin once removed or something.
He was just excited. And whenever she did something in the second half, he was like, she has her own cheering squad with Smo up in the stand. So I thought it was funny.
I love it.
So anything else? Again, like we said, we're playing, we're playing Alabama. Is it Alabama? Yeah, Alabama FC.
Yeah, Alabama. And there is a venue change.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, there is a venue change.
Oh, tell me this is lower league amateur soccer without telling me.
Hey, we found out late last night. Jeremy sent it to me. So by the time this podcast goes out, it should be announced. I thought they already announced it.
Yeah, they may have. I didn't see it.
Yeah, there is a venue change, and I was told it's not the Jazzercise place, as the Google Map shows it's Jazzercise. But yeah, no, something must have happened on their field, maybe with all of the rain or whatnot. I don't really know. But yeah, nice. We found out last night, though, they asked for a venue change.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, same kickoff, same everything, just new venue.
Yeah, so if you can make it down, well, as you're hearing this, you're going to have to leave in about, you know, 2 or 3 hours.
they're on slow time, so you leave when you want to arrive.
they're on the good time zone. We've had this conversation before.
It's the twilight zone, Jim.
We don't need to go through this again. So anything else about the women's team? Is overall
just next Saturday is their first home match.
That's
so,
right.
So yeah. Don't go to Riverbend. I hate that it's Riverbend weekend. Don't go to Riverbend on Saturday. Come see the women's
match. I don't even think you really got to say that.
Well, no. What you do is you come for the women's match, then go to Riverbend.
Exactly. Yes, because way more important is the women's return to Findlay.
That'll be great. It'll be great.
So big.
I want to see everyone there.
Well, that's it. You know, there were a couple of things around NISA that y'all mentioned. We saw Savannah billboards. So I guess Savannah is now telling everyone in Savannah that Savannah exists and that they're going to be in NISA next year.
They can join our little party of clowns.
Yeah, I guess.
They might want to find some four-leaf clovers to wish on at this point.
Yeah.
Just say it.
Yeah, anyway.
NISA gonna NISA.
And then we referenced the Stars 2-1 win. Sorry, I did forget that that Bay City scored late in that goal to make it 2-1. The 2-1 win over Bay Cities. But I don't think we can let this week go on without mentioning the vast and glorious stadium the Stars put out there. You know, they put out that quote unquote hype video where there was this green rectangle in the middle of a brown field. And I'm like, they put that out on purpose, like intentionally. I don't know.
All of us to have comedic fodder with.
And then the league retweeted it as if it's something to be proud of. I don't know. I mean, so I did share a screenshot.
Consistently missing PLS standards week after week.
You know what? To be honest, it probably was the shining spot of NISA after the previous week's, you know, mass exodus from our friends in the West. So.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah, nowhere to go but up from the Valley. From the Valley United. I don't know. Do you guys want
to
say?
Oh, but to be fair, I mean, the other league did try to hang with NISA. This past week with some of the stuff that's going on in that league. So, you know.
Yes. You heard about the New Mexico nonsense, New Mexico and Phoenix.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was anyway, we don't need to talk about
that. So while we would like to think that NISA has cornered the market on NISA-ing, it's not necessarily the case.
It's more love to go around, really just bleeding over into other markets.
Does anyone want to say anything about the Valley United stuff? I mean, do we...
Well, you know, if you're going to play with fire, you're going to get
burned.
You
need some ice? That's awful. That was terrible.
Oh, Jim. Terrible.
Well, you know, the thing is that I don't think it surprised any of us because if you've been listening to this podcast, we've talked about this going on in the league now for the second year. And our dear friend Matt, you know, he's railed on it for a couple of years now, too. And so... You know, it is kind of strange, right, that the owner comes out and, like, he's taken aback by this. And, I mean, I guess it can happen. I mean, I don't know how connected he is with the club and that sort of thing. But and he turned him in.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was a safe face issue. You just never know about these things. Overall, it's just not a good look.
No. It's not. We've known that this has been happening, especially with the travel visas. You know, Valley then just decided to add another, you know, wrinkle to it by – you know, falsifying green cards, which is.
And when you get the IRS and.
That's not a good look.
And anytime the feds get involved.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing like messing with the federal government.
Yeah, that's just a good look. So anyway, so that's NISA. We can leave that stuff. Let's talk about something that's going on across the country that is way more positive than that.
Yeah.
And that is, it's getting close to June, and that means it's time for Pride Razor again. And
days away.
Who wants to, Shelly or Shabby, anybody want to talk about the sure. Chattahooligan campaign?
Yeah, we either of us can. So yeah, the Chattahooligan campaign this year. So all goals that are scored in June by the men's and the women's side, money will be raised for Spectrum. And you can actually, on all of our social media, the club's been tweeting it. You can go in and make a pledge. So we have crested the $500 mark, correct? We have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're all joining together in the initiatives of CFC. I think I saw the merch booth, the CFC merch booth, I think, did a tweet of it and also did a pledge for it. So awesome. We really want everyone to get their pledges in. Because, I mean, obviously, last year was great. First year that we were able to really have it with a lot of games in June. But the fact that we have doubled down this year with two teams, it's a great initiative. It's nonprofit. They don't make any money off of this, but all the money is going straight to the different organizations and initiatives that every team or club or supporters group picks.
Has anybody looked to see how many games we have in June total between the men and women?
Oh, it's like,
I can tell seven? You.
I mean, pretty much the entire women's season is in June.
I think it's
so.
Seven. Is it seven matches?
Six or seven.
Well,
because we get a double header that on the 11th will be a great match to see what exactly we can rack up that day.
Yeah.
But 1, 2, 3. I think it is. Seven is what
seven.
I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have several away matches on the men's side, but mm-hmm. And lots of home games for the women.
So for those of you who've been with us for a year, you might remember that the podcast did a Pride Razor last year, in addition to the Chattahooligans, and you know, so we kind of combined efforts. I didn't want to split the group, so we kind of combined efforts there. We did Spectrum last year as our beneficiary, and I was really happy that the Chattahooligans agreed to kind of take them on. It's a UTC student organization that cannot receive any funding from the institution, and so it's and they're kind of working towards some really big things in the next couple of years. And so an opportunity to give them some additional funding is really special to me. And I'm really humbled and glad that the Chattahooligans took that on as their beneficiary as well. So I'm really hoping for big things this year. You can go to prideraiser.com, I believe. Is that the...
Yeah, and then we think we're /... CHA, but yeah, if you go to
Pride, or you could go, wait, I mean, just to make it easy, the vanity URL for us is CHA.prideraiser.org.
Okay. Pride.org. Yes, right. Prideraiser.org.
Yeah.
If you go to the main page, though, and you're in Chattanooga, it's going to locate you and probably put the Chattahooligans at first. But if you want to go directly to that vanity URL, it'd be great. And
they've got some awesome merch that they're selling too. They got some new scarves this year. Jim, I know how much you love scarves.
Yes, so I have
some new scarves.
And they can't, nobody can see it, but I have last year's right here.
Yeah, this is again a shameless plug for our YouTube channel. Eventually,
yeah, no,
you can see all these outtakes, things are pointing to.
There is no
geography
YouTube.
Lessons.
There is no YouTube channel, people. There is not a YouTube channel.
Yeah, so. Not with that.
We do makeup tutorials on Jim.
No.
Yes. Luna live haircuts. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, speaking
Manganata of lessons.
We could live from the kitchen. We could show, I could be Julia Childs with how to make. I'm
dating.
Be
Jacques Pepin.
I may have dated myself with the Julia Childs reference, but anyway. Anything else, y'all, for the good of these folks, or do we let them get back to their Friday afternoon or Saturday or whenever the hell they listen?
Have a wonderful holiday weekend, and I hope we see you
be
out
safe
there
this weekend.
At Finley.
That's right.
Yeah, we better see your butts in the seats on Saturday. And if you can, get on the road.
Watch on Friday night. If you can't make it, be there on Saturday night and be there for fireworks. And
fireworks.
Yeah.
And look, I just want there to be fireworks on the field in the form of CFC goals. That's
right.
What I want.
Yep.
That would be fantastic.
They're going to be hitting some bombs.
All right. So, so Shabby, if people were to try to find your takes on the Twitter, where would they find them?
At Shabby Bell, S-H-A-B-Y-B-E-L-L-E.
And Shelly, if they want to yell at you about your takes, where do they find those?
You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
Todd, where can they find you on the interwebs or on, well, no, I guess your TV show days are over, right, for this season?
For this season, they are over. So you can find me on Twitter at Great Footballer. And also don't forget that we are on Facebook for the over 40 crowd. And I try to keep that page going and updated by promoting different CFC things. And hey, good luck to the CFC Academy kids. It looks like they might be playing for a state championship coming up this weekend.
That's
and
right.
Congratulations to the ones that made it to the state semifinals. It was a great showing by the Academy all the way around in state leagues. And also, I know it is tryout season for club soccer all around. So good luck to those kids who are going out and trying to make themselves better.
Yep. Well, this is Jim. You could find me, block me, mute me at Chattagooner. I know we all want to congratulate Coach Amanda Moore on her career. She has announced her retirement from coaching. She's still teaching, but a veteran of the 423 soccer pod. She's been on. So I want to congratulate her on a wonderful career.
It's going to be a hard one to replace because she has done wonders with the the women's soccer program there.
And she's given CFC one of their players. So
one of our players. She has.
So yeah. So with that, folks, go CFC.
Go Blues.
Shuffle, little shake off the episode of the crossbar. Oh, it's a cheeky goal.